Amen. Amen. Jesus, we thank you. We say thank you, Lord. For that true purpose that Elijah has found. That true purpose that life is finding. On the earth, discovering in the soil of your plan. We thank you for a deeply rooted heart. Give it to us two deeply rooted counsels. Thank you because you hide nothing back from us. You will make known unto us your entire will. As we journey in your word again this morning, you will help us to see all that needs to be said, so that all that needs to be heard will be heard. You help in our hearts an ignition of your holy fire. See that which you have called us to do, and the very many ways of which you have made that possible for us to walk in. In the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's have a seat, church. Matthew 9 is our text in this conference. Says verse 36, when he was moved, he saw the multitudes were there, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. So we said the work of God is a work of training and equipping and releasing new shepherds. And the basis, the platform upon which that is carried out, is in the local church. Any ministry that is not rooted, founded, and attached, that does not function through local assembly, must review itself. The work of the ministry primarily steps out from the local church. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, verse 14, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church and the house of living God, which is the ground and the pillar of the truth. The church of God, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. So the church is the pillar, the word stulos, the ground, the word edrioman of the truth. Whatever it is that God will have entrenched on the earth, the truth, aletheia or aletheinos in the Greek, whatever it is that God will have the whole world established in, whatever counsel you have, in whatever way you have to communicate it, whatever counsel, whatever wisdom which is of God that you have, it says the church is the pillar and the ground of the same. Let's think, Paul was talking about the body of Christ at large. Paul was not really focused on the body of Christ, inasmuch as the body of Christ comes in that text. Paul was focused on the units in the body of Christ, what today we call the local assemblies. Local church. It's only a lazy believer, an uncaught one, who attempts to carry out the work of the ministry without a proper, a detailed, and efficient attachment and functioning from the local assembly. Are we together, church? He says the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. So it is in the church that men are trained.
Men are equipped. Laborers are recruited within the local churches. Are we together? It is God's training ground. It is God's place of brooding, of grooming you. Of grooming you. The local assembly. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So if you have found yourself in the local assembly, if you have found yourself in the local assembly, you must bear in mind that you are right there where God's work is to be done. Is it clear, church? A call to ministry will be a call to serve in the local assembly. So we began to talk about the call of God. We said primarily basics, it is a call to follow. To follow Jesus through his chosen men. We said in that followership, we will realize the training of the Spirit. We said that training will prove you, prune you, build you, make you effective. Through that effectiveness, you become efficient. That is where your essence is. Then we moved on from there. We saw that the call to the ministry, we said, is an interruption into the normal course of the man's life. Interruption. An interruption. We said that interruption is because God will intervene in the affairs of man. God would intervene. So because of God's intervention, he interrupts into your affairs. So God's interruption into my affairs is because the call and the plans of God on the earth is not about me. God's plans are bigger than you. Are we together, church? The plans of God are bigger than you. So he interrupts into your plans in order to bring to humanity an intervention. We saw a text from Exodus 3. We saw from Exodus chapter 3 when he met with Moses. We'll look at that text again. Exodus 3. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. It says, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. He came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the burning of the bush. And he looked, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see the great sight, why the bush is not burned. Verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then you begin to observe the address of God, the reason for the call. He says, moreover, verse 6, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. So the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. By the time you read into the prophets, you observe the Jeremiah text, the Isaiah text, the Amos text. God in the Psalms, God is described as the God of the whole earth. Psalm 2. In Psalms chapter 2. He has said to ask of me, and I will give thee the hidden for an inheritance. The uttermost part of the earth, he says, for thy possession. Habakkuk 2 and 14 speaks of how the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Numbers 11:21 says, as truly as I live here, the Lord, the whole earth shall be covered with my glory. Why? Because he is the God of the whole earth. The whole earth belongs to him. He says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The inhabitants of the earth belongs to him. So legally, by virtue of creation, and by virtue of possession, by virtue of his plan on the earth, the whole nations of the earth are the people of God, wallowing in bondage. So he calls upon you and I, just like he does with Moses, and he sends you into the nations. An interruption, like we said. By the time you observe, Joshua was also an interruption into his life. You move on from there, you see Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 6. In Judges chapter 6, are we there? If you look at verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Verse 3. And so it was when Israel had sown. Can we take verse 3 together? So you see the thickness of the bondage. Verse 3, Judges chapter 6, everybody wants to go. It says, and so it was when Israel sowed that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. They ruined their farms. Till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Verse 5, everyone. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. Wow. And they entered into the land and destroyed it. The 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Again, you see prayers to God. They cried unto the Lord. So you will observe prayers. Observe that Paul was consenting to the soul death not only of Stephen, are we together, in Acts 9, but he had gone about to seek permission from the chief priests, from the rulers of the people, to put the saints in prison. They cried unto God. So I told you that the cry of the people would invoke the call of God. So, my call to the ministry is not because I was looking for it, or I loved it, or I liked it. Are we together? It is a response to the cry of multitudes. He says, verse 7, Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Look at that date. Are you there? Are you in verse 8? Let's read together. That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of what? Bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of them that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now look at verse 11, everyone. Look at the interruption. He says, and there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was at Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now, Lord has forsaken us and delivered us to the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Say, God has sent me. Don't forget, we closed on the Romans 10 text yesterday. How shall they preach except they be sent? Except they be sent. Are we together? So we said yesterday night that the dilemma of the sinner is either the unavailability or the unreadiness of a laborer. How shall they believe except there be a preacher? So we say false preacher is a what? A laborer. Paul's preacher is a laborer. Are we together, church? So we're going to look at the intervention of God. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for the watch for you, for your souls rather, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. They watch for your souls. It's an intervention of God. It's an intervention of God.
Interactions. So the work of the ministry will bear interactions. We said yesterday that interaction would involve going after yourself to preach the gospel on them. I go after the unsaved to declare the gospel unto them. That is an interaction. I'm going to church. That is an interaction. We saw yesterday, Romans chapter 16 also. Romans 16. We observe the very many relationships in the church at where now? At Rome. And there was no way that Paul would have listed those relationships, if not a function of what I'm describing now as the holy interaction. To go after a sinner and see to it that he said is an interaction. After a man is saved, to go after that man. To see that it's established in the gospel is an interaction. I want to get that. It's an interaction. I said, when we get to Paul, in the work of training new believers, it is also and was an interaction. Is this the church? When I use my material resources to strengthen the work of God within my local assembly, it is also and was an interaction. What if I look upon the leaders in the church and I strengthen them? I strengthen them. Make the resource available. Make the supply available. That is also what an interaction. So the very many activities that ensues in the work of the ministry, the very many activities that preaching and establishing men in the gospel brings to us, instructs us, help us to be involved in those activities, what I call what? Holy interactions. In the midst of those interactions, we will engage with the unsaved. We will engage with the unsaved. Part of that interaction is our engagement with the saved. Part of that interaction is our engagement with the saved but lukewarm. The saved and lethargic. Also, is part of our what? Interaction. I want to tell a church. I want to tell a church. Because the moment the man is saved, the man is saved to serve. The moment a man is born again, the man has been saved to serve.
And hear me clearly. Are we together? The call to salvation begins to show us that, listen carefully, the moment you are saved, your life ceases to be all about yourself. The moment a man is saved, his life ceases to be what? Private. Many folks don't know this. His life ceases to be what? Private. His life ceases to be secret. I told someone, I said, if you want to live a secret life, get out of the church. Get out of the church. Get out of the church. Get out. A secret life. I don't want people to be involved in my life. Then you are not born again. Because you got saved. If you are saved, you got saved by somebody getting involved. Others will get saved by you getting what? Involved. Are we together, church? Are we together? People will get involved in your life. You will also get involved in other people's world life. The life of a laborer is a people life. A people life. Your life ceases to be all, to be all about yourself. As I would say, the work of the ministry leads you of selfishness. Because the basis of it is that you will now live for another. See, have you observed that the hallmark of Christianity, the reason why we have Christianity at all is because somebody came and did not live for himself, but laid down his life for others. And that is the foundation. That is instructive of how the faith will continue. We will consistently live for others. Are we together, church? So the moment I'm born again, my life ceases to be private. To be private. And I tend to live a private life by all means. It's because you are living, you want to live in sin. People cannot live with you. People cannot visit you. You can't live with people. People cannot visit you. It's because you are living in what? In sin. Are we together, church? Are we together? It seems to be private. Interactions. You were born again to interact. Born again to what? Interact. Tell your neighbor, say, born again to interact. You were born again to interact. born anew to fellowship. The call to salvation is a call into a family. You were born into a family of God. Interactions. So we begin to teach you, to train you how to interact. In fact, the moment you are saved, we begin to call you something like brother. That appellation, that address of a brother or a sister already shows that you are brought into an interaction, a brotherhood. You are brought into a family, into a brotherhood, a fellowship, a relationship. A call to salvation is a call into a relationship, relationship with other believers. It is in the midst of that relationship that spiritual development is discovered. It is in the midst of that relationship that you are strengthened. It is in the midst of that relationship that the gifts and calling of God upon your life are discovered and nurtured unto maturity. It is in the midst of that relationship that you will help to sharpen other believers. It is in the midst of that relationship that many of your spiritual needs, your supernatural needs are met. It is in the need of that relationship that your spiritual glow is maintained. It is in the need, the midst of that relationship that your reason to be for being saved is realized. To serve. Tell your neighbor, say serve to serve. And that service is not the service of your own self, it is the service of others. Are we together? So you have to serve through interactions. Your service to the body of Christ is in how you properly serve that interaction. In love, in holiness, in sanctity. Paul will say to Timothy, he says, within the church where you pastor, he says, you will entreat elder men. He says, older men treat as fathers. So there are interactions within the church. There's a way to interact with the saved. Older women, he says, treat as mother. Younger men, treat as brothers. Younger women, treat as sisters in holiness, in purity. Are we together? So, there is a way to interact within the church, within the kingdom of God, amongst fellow believers. Is it clear? Much more when you are now a Christian leader. A Christian leader. There is nothing private, secret about your life. And I'm not saying like many people do today to you know you set the camera into your life, pick every moment and put it on Facebook. That's madness. That's madness. That's madness. That's madness. Are we together? See a minister of the gospel. Everything about his private life is on YouTube, on Facebook. That is madness. Are we there? I'm talking about not wanting to interact with people. That one left your life the day you got born again. By 1 Timothy, for example, you look at 1 Timothy 3. Paul talking about a Christian leader. He says, a Christian leader must be given, verse 2, to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Later on, he said concerning a widow in chapter 5 and 6, he says, a widow must be given to what? Hospitality. Given to hospitality. You observe that the qualifications of a bishop in 1 Timothy 3, of a deacon, later in the same text, were things that we will observe. It says, you must be able to teach. That means we look at you and see how you explain God's word. Can you explain the word of God properly? If not, you cannot lead Christians. Can't be a Christian leader. If you cannot instruct, cannot teach, cannot explain the word of God, husband of one wife, behind that instruction of a husband of one wife is the contentment to stick to one woman. One woman. I love the translation that says, a man who will be a Christian leader must be a one woman husband. One woman. Say your neighbor, say one woman. Obviously, it does not mean that if you are not married, you cannot live Christians. Are we together? That couldn't be what Paul is saying. That couldn't be what Paul is saying. Or else, that would have disqualified every campus leader in Nigeria. Are we together? That would have disqualified Jesus himself. That would have disqualified Paul himself, the writer, and even disqualified the recipient himself, Timothy. Are we together? Are we together? So it's a guideline, husband of one wife, to show you that contentment, look at me, everybody, look at me. Observable contentment. We must observe your life that you walk in contentment. Are we together? Contentment. Your sexual desires. Commitment to a partner when you are married. Are we together? Are we together? Contentment with the issue of money. He later said he must not be greedy or filthy looker. A Christian leader cannot be covetous. We can't keep money with you. What in he has spent it. Church money spent. Project money spent. You send your errand, change that. What in you can't be a Christian leader. When a pastor spots such a person in the church, the pastor must ensure that such a person is not given any privilege to lead until that trait, he has outgrown it, even if it takes 6 years. You just observe that you are not being nominated. You ask for something, they will send you money. Shortly after that, you did not do it again. The money, you did not return it. You can never be found. And one thing about the heart of a father, a pastor, is that the pastor must have the heart of a father. It is not everything that he will mention, but he will take decisions. Yes. Because as you grow older in ministry, you will learn the wisdom of the father that it is not everything you complain about. You must teach, you must correct in love, you must make counsel available, you must make knowledge available. You must teach and instruct and make discernment available in all the best and the possible ways you can. But many times, when people fault it, you smile and you take decision. You take decision. How many do we want to complain about? How many complaints do we want to lodge in? You smile, you take decision. You sit down there. You sit down there for another 6 years. Another 5 years. Yes? Because consistently, as that test is coming, and it's not that the pastor is deliberately testing you. No, he doesn't have that time. He doesn't have that time. The pastor does not conduct the test for you. The winds of life themselves will come. The pastor is an interpreter, he's a prophet. He recognizes times and seasons. So he looks at you and is quiet. He observes your response to a particular event and he tells him, he has mastered it finally. Move on. Take responsibility for that one. Because that is the same thing God does. It's the same way God trains us. This life, the seasons of life, the times of life rather, and the seasons in it. Is it clear? The activities in it are geared to test our depth of training in the ministry. A pastor recognizes those pivotal moments and allows you to display what is inside you at that moment. Obviously, after moments of laborious training, they tell themselves, Goti, get here.
No, voilà. Rien. Another 1 year.
Maybe the trainings around keeping the apostolic tradition, he observes you. A very strategic moment, he observes you. He sees what you do. Say, could he get here? Don't worry. We will wait again till the next keeping the apostolic tradition. So you keep writing that test silently, writing that test. He makes the training available, he teaches, he counsels, he watches again. You repeat it again, you wait again. Another one. You repeat it again, you will until finally you master it. And maybe you are actually supposed to demonstrate that mastery for 4 keeping apostolic tradition. That is 4 years. So you observe that in 7 years, we did not call you for any leadership role. Maybe because when you started acting well, that was the first year. You were supposed to have 4 records. How about together? So that, look at this. After a while, we can be confident. See, nobody has the time of committing sins to you and second guessing you. We don't want to second guess you. We send you to Abuja. We send pastor the church there. We don't want to second guess you. We want to send you there and take our minds off and believe that this guy will trust his wisdom, will trust his judgment. So we have to take our time while you are still with us. When you are still under the noses, we have to observe it. And let me tell you the truth, you can't hide it. You can't pretend. The man of God before you is so trained. You can't pretend. You can't pretend. If you try, you can't pretend for long. We'll find you out. By the Holy Ghost and by observation. We'll find you out. We'll see what is in your heart. How about together, church? So there are things that are observable. The qualifications are observable. Apt to teach. Observable. Who will see it? Come aboard. We'll look at you. Vigilant. He says a bishop must be blameless. 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 Does he have good reports? These are things we see via what? Interactions. He says, husband of one wife, not carrying side chicks. Pastor, don't need side chicks. Can't be a Christian leader. The woman will find out, you step down. Are we together? Vigilant. Sober. A Christian leader is observed to be serious. Serious minded. When we look into your life, we observe that this one is a serious person. He says, of good behavior. So, a Christian leader does not say, this is who I am. That's who I am. That's who you are. That's why you can't lead anybody. Because you are not even able to lead yourself. Some people cannot lead yourself to pray. They want to lead others to pray on pulpit. Onkwe. You want to distribute prayerlessness into people's lives. Anigba. How would you get out? A cell leader that does not pray. After a while you observe that no member of the cell is what? Is praying again. Because you can't give what you don't have. Then you want us to make you a cell leader. Oh, it's giving bad luck. Because we can observe it when you are not prayerful. Simple decisions. They're back again. Sir, I'm thinking I should do this. You do what? Oh, Gadurani. Sir, I'm thinking I should do this. Things that you ought to have dealt with in prayer. I'm thinking I should do this. Do what? He says, given to hospitality. That is, a Christian leader is accommodating. Accommodating. Not cranky. Touchy. Any small thing, you are yelling at a fellow member in the church. I even know some of you that you even yell at your leaders. Your leaders. You yell at your leaders. You can never amount to anything in the church. I will show you how later. Why later? You yell at your leaders. You yell at them. You yell at them. Some of you open your mouth. Open your dirty mouth with your dirty teeth and dirty tongue and smelly tongue. Try to advise your leader. Advise your leader. Advise your leader. Do. Observe it. Interactions. Observe it. Given to hospitality. That means, look at this. He doesn't just accommodate people. He is forward at it. He is given to it. He's given to it. Given to it. Then I'll say, oh, brother so and so. Please, there's a brother in need of a short term stay in the church. Can he come over to you? You are just saying on phone. Okay, sir. Before you said okay, I just said don't worry. What is because now Barola Ibilu Makulu Eku? Yes. It is hunger that will finish that brother. How would you get that? Say, you thought we were foolish before we called you. You thought we were foolish. Can the brother have a short time stay with you? He said, Pastor, okay. No, don't worry. Can a sister stay in your room? Oh, we have people around for a meeting, and then we have exhausted our accommodation. Can this sister just spend like the weekend? The meeting is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Can they spend the weekend? But Sunday side less. Pastor. Don't worry. My sister care lot about him. Don't worry. I mean, I care lot. You cannot be entrusted with the care of the flock. You already don't care naturally. Is it spiritually that you want to care? You think we will trust you that you will go out of your comfort and spend money tonight praying for the cell under you? No, we can't entrust you with that. We can't entrust you with that. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Given to hospitality, apt to teach. Look at 3. Not given to wine. And not given to wine is applicable in many areas. It means he has a self-control. He has self-control. Within the confines of a culture, what is morally acceptable and spiritually acceptable, he has self-control. He knows how to draw the line. These are all activities. He says, no striker. He does not fight, quarrel. Before we know it, Romaika Kiposho, what in ja? It is Brother Michael who called you, not Angel Michael. Are we together? Even the angel, you have to invite him. And you have to show him the legal reasons why he should join the warfare. But you, always looking for him. I be ready, 24/7. Always ready. He says, always ready to preach the whole, always ready to fight. There's still words. Before you know it. Brother, I don't mention any name again. Kilo five, what only get for Pastor Familiar, Pastor Familiar, Pastor Familiar, Pastor Shall I you? Pastor, be bike, Pastor Bokada, but I still go in yellow by draw. all together. I saw someone look at pastor. Say, pastor, pastor, my brother, what do you? My brother, what do you?
Ah,
my brother, what do you? Pastor, I will enter you. All together, you enter the anointed. Hey. Are we together?
Pastor, will you be quivering? Will you be quivering?
Pastor, we are where to go. We are where to go. I'm not just speaking, man. I've had it before. Someone has actually told me before. Me before.
Say, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor,
I just advise myself. Before you start asking, Pastor, kilo wa shele. Would you marry me? Are we together?
Bugwara Nikini. Bugwara Lugure.
Amen.
Not a striker.
Exchanging words. Exchanging words.
Driving.
And then someone just, a bike man just offend you. And then you just parked. Then you open the gate. Open the door rather, not the gate. The gate of the car. Sorry, the door of the car. Open the door. Amy, I will curse you.
Not the pastor. Not the Christian leader.
When we find out that you are fighting and quarreling in your accommodation, see, it shows that some of you don't know the news gets to me. I'm a pastor. I won't raise it. Because sometimes, look at it, sometimes, what is the essence of raising it? When we raise the issue, we will still have to get back to the proper way of solving it. So let's not raise it. Let's just continue the process and the activities that resolves it. And we use that as a feedback mechanism. Some of you don't know the news gets to me. The news gets to me. I just be quiet. And when you greet me next time, I say, how are you? Bless you. When I move away, unjagidi jago. Unjagidi jago. Because, look at me. If I were not the pastor, you would have done. So let's remove the pastor thing. I'm also your brother. Loud and brute and brat. Not you. Say not me.
Not me.
We'll talk about that in the afternoon. Not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. Interactions. He says, not a striker. When you see a man of God, he doesn't exchange words. He stays away from quarrel. Many times, even when it is right, he stays away from quarrel. You won't find him exchanging words. Even a bike man, he's exchanging words. Both online and offline. Both online and offline. Are we together? I see some people. Anytime anybody offend them, you know how you know on their WhatsApp status. They'll just post it. It is well. You think it is well with you? It is well. I trust God. Nonsense. Intensely, when I see it, I know. I know the different thermometers of the I trust God on your status. You see, more my somebody I know. I know it. When I see it, I trust God. I just look at him. In 2-3 minutes, I know. I trust God. I just look at him. I trust God. That's what I'm saying. I
transgression. He run me.
And there are some other I trust God that I will see. You know how I will know? You know how I will show that this one is genuine? I will repost it. I will snapshot it. I will now repost it. So when you check my status, you see the name of that brother, the name of that sister. And they say, then by the time I post it, the whole church also ever reposted it. We trust God. But the other one, I think I don't know. Say, we always win. What's it on? Have you won over the anger? Only do could do. Are we together? Some will write epistles on their status. I'm a Christian. I'm a new creation. And the new creation, you know, God is with me. Are we together? When you are tempted to get angry, sing psalms. If you can't sing psalms, drink water and sleep. That's why you should have a lot of pure water in your room. It's not all the pure water in your room that is for after eating. Some of it is why you are angry. Are we together? Not a what? A striker. You don't exchange words. You don't quarrel. You don't fight. Say, I will show them in that department. What do you have to show them? You are just a dust. Stop boasting. Let God step in. Let him step in. Any community that thinks they will gang against you and ruin your reputation, let God step in. God knows how to make them look very foolish. That is a man of God. So we observe all these things in the midst of interactions. Not greedy or filthy looker. Hey! Bet Niger. You cannot amount to anything in the church. Loto. Oh, tatete, you are me alone. Tete. We used to play one game. I never played those games though. It always irritated me. But when we were in primary school, we say, tete. Yes. That's how flimsy your life look. Tete. Oh, tatete, you are me alone. Loto. Give you money for food. What if we cut it? Oh, I'm talking yadubu. Oh, centurion on lower look of Jesus. Tete. Keep us. We sent you money. Actually, sir, I invested. I invested it. Investment is key investment. See where the money we give? I give you money to help me hold it. If you tap it, one key, another one key, press another 400, another 25, another 19, another 11. After a while, you send money there, another 419. Only. Say not me. Say I'm a minister of the gospel. Are we together? That's it. Minister of the gospel. A Christian leader. You stay away. Greedy or filthy looker. The word filthy looker there is the word askrokedis in the Greek. Askrokedis. Filthy is used for what is not legal. What is not proper? What is not just? What cannot
be traced to be a moral. Nobody needs to tell you that betting is not of God. Because, first of all, it's a demonstration of covetousness. You want to reap where you have not sown. Secondly, it leads to a wastage of resources. You waste godly resources. It trains you in the habit of stealing and makes you vulnerable to such temptations. Are we together? Some things are not sin because the Bible describes them or mentions them as sinning. Are we together? Some things are already sin simply because of the things they make you likely make you to do. The tendencies around them is what makes them sin. Is it clear? Not greedy or filthy looking, but what? Patience. Someone say patience. Patience in your finances. Patience with people. Patience in teaching. Patience in conduct. Not a brawler. What is a brawler? Look at me. Look at me. Who is a brawler? Arujokiri. Before you know it, your mouth part has turned to proboscis. And then we're fun. Show. That's a brawler. So it's not like that. Show. Gossiping. No information can stay with them. Always tempted under a supernatural impulse of a demon to quickly talk about it. Supernatural impulse of a demon. See, if you're a woman here, listen to me, our sisters. If you're a woman and you don't know how to keep information to yourself, sometimes throughout your entire life, you cannot be used of God properly. You cannot. You don't know how to keep information. You don't know how to be entrusted with information. Now, observe what I just said. I said entrusted with information. I did not say join hands with somebody. Are we together? To keep secret of a bad deed. Lest you become another Sapphira beside an Ananias. Shekodimu Zoye, have you drawn the line? Draw the line, oh. Yeah. You know? Sister. And someone comes to you and says, sister this. You know? I'm actually a word man. If anybody has to tell you that he's a word man, go one kaka. Say, I'm actually a word man. I'm trying to do the word here. That's a sister speaking to a sister. You know, last keeping apostolic tradition at exactly 9:15 a.m. on the Saturday, Pastor made a statement. He said we should keep secret. I want you and I to keep this secret. Who fe bayi ejeji? Re bayi ejeji? The connive with them, they say, let's keep it a secret. Over by here, Jenny. Are you with me? You know things. When people confide in you, sometimes, and there's a reason why, and that's what I'm going to teach the next thing that happens after. When people confide in you, you must know as who. Is it clear? See, let me say it again. When somebody brings an information to you, let me tell you, wisdom is what keeps us in the ministry.
not revelation of the word. Wisdom, ministerial ethics, and ministerial sanity. Every profession has rules of engagement. If you want to last in it, you adhere to the rules, not the information. Is it clear? That's the difference between the online word men or inexperienced young guys or pastors, inexperienced guys that wants to be authoritative in the ministry. You must have a wisdom and experience. Wisdom. That's one of the benefits of accountability. That you are faced with an event, and because you know the rules of engagement, and you know that it is wisdom that is needed, and you don't have it, you go quickly. You pick your bags immediately. You meet with what? An elder minister. Sharply. A pastor. That's the place of accountability. Because the same rule of engagement, only that this time you don't have the wisdom, so you speak to the person that has the wisdom, accountability. It is wisdom that keeps us in the ministry. Wisdom that keeps us in the ministry. Are we together? He says wisdom and understanding is the stability of thy times. Stability, longevity is got into wisdom. Wisdom, prudence, practical wisdom. If someone comes to you to confide in you or to tell you something, you must learn to ask yourself, he is telling me this as who? That is, I am being brought in as who? Why should this information come to me as who? So you must know, there are things that the moment you are told, do you know the next thing you do? You pick your phone, you call your leader. I didn't say call another believer. You pick your phone, you call your leader. Hello, sir. Hello, ma'am. This was just told me. Are we together? And that way, you would have strengthened the church. There are some things that once, when it's told you, are we together? The moment the person is done talking, and the person is turning back to go, you pull him back by the collar of his shirt and say, next time you tell me this, tell me bye. In the church? Yes. Yes. Next time you say this, next time you bring this information to me, next time, you'll be standing before me and pastor. Next time. As who? Some people are not, they don't care. It's not that they care and then they bring information to you. No, they are looking for, you know what they call atten, dung heap, to drop and deposit their shit. Busy bodies. That is why Paul said to tell the church at Thessalonica, he says, let every one of you study to be what? To be quiet, minding your own business. Minding your own word, business. Study to be what? Quiet. So there are some information that when they are brought to you, you also do what? You keep. So as a leader now, someone is confiding in you. You must know how to what? Keep the information. There are certain informations to keep in your heart. There are some to tell. There are some to pray about. Are we together? Look at Mary. The Bible said in Luke 2, after Jesus has responded to her, I know you're not about to be a man of father, the Bible says she kept those things what? In her heart. Kept it. I remember the man Kennedy Hagin. When he was born with a number of major diseases, including a hole in his heart. The conditions around his birth were so serious. Because, you know, to start with, his father did not take responsibility for, did not take care of his wife, rather, the mother. I didn't say impregnated her. No, they were married. But he wasn't really as responsible as the father would be when the mother took in the child. There were many instances where it was said that the mother would go days without eating while the child was about 3-4 months, 5 months in the womb, or even more. She really didn't have the care or support. And in fact, obviously, the wife, the mother rather, had been warned of her parents to not marry the man because they had foreseen some tendencies around the man. But for one reason or the other, best known to her, she went ahead and got married to him. By the time she took in the child, he didn't take responsibility. And the woman went through a lot of tough time. In fact, so much that it got to a time when she was without food for weeks. And in order not to die, she had to now go back, shamefully though, back to her parents, because they have to come back to you and the way I am, than to die because I'm ashamed or afraid because they said I should not marry so and so person. So she goes back because she was from a godly family. The man was not a godly man. And the parents had warned her, don't marry that guy. They said, no, I love him. By the time the Kennedy was born, I almost hear Bible said. By the time Kennedy was born, the boy was, look at this, he was described to be as tiny as a little rat. Yes, he was that tiny as a little rat that the doctor actually said that he was dead. He was declared dead. By the time he was born, the doctor simply focused, after taking delivery, the doctor focused on the mother to recover because she was in a serious health condition, critical health condition. The girl was born there. The child was just there. So they had packed the child and threw into the dustbin. Yes, go read it. Yes. Can you take it? By the time you look at his stature today, how built up he is and huge his stature was. He wasn't like that. He was born very frail. At best, the doctor had already packed, the nurses had packed they said he looked like a tiny lad. He had thrown him into the trashing can. And the grandmother, his grandmother, that was the mother of his mom now, was now the one, running errands, the medical errands and all that, so that the woman can survive. Because she was in a critical health condition. So it was one of the times that she was entering back into the maternity that she looked again and observed the boy. And for some reasons unknown to her, decided to look into the trash can and look detailedly. Then you observe that there seemed to be something like a numbling pulse. Boom, boom. Yeah, this thing is alive. So she brought the child out and took the child somewhere else. Within the hospital, to place the child there to observe. So after a while, the doctor came around, examined the child again. He observed that the heartbeat had improved. Are we together? The heartbeat had improved. So they began to feed the child. The child could not be breastfed because the mother was not available. The mother was almost dying. And none of that. So they had to prepare some kind of concoctions, mixtures of fluids and all of that, and then started feeding the child artificially. By the time he grew up, he came to discover that he had a blood disease. A blood disease and a heart disease. And then he was confined to the bed to die. From that age down to when he was around 17, he was on the sick bed, waiting to die. Because all the doctors have declared that he would not, and at those times, people really didn't believe in divine healing. That was why a major message of Kenneth Hagin was divine healing. And he had a healing ministry that was almost unparalleled by any of his contemporaries in his longevity. And has raised many more healing schools and ministries today. Kenneth Hagin. He was healed in a vision. Now, if you look at it, later on in the year 1950, 1950 something, when Jesus appeared to him in one of those visions that he had, the Lord spoke to him in that vision. You know, the Lord would come into his room and sit down, and the Lord would engage him in a conversation. Sometimes it was about 1 hour, 40 minutes. He was there with the Lord. About 6 to 7 or 8 different visions. So in one of those visions, he said the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord gave him an account of the situations around his birth. And while the Lord was giving him an account of the situations around his birth, the Lord kept mentioning his mom and the things he told his mother. So one of the scenarios was that the Lord told him that before he was born, he had appeared to his mom and spoke to his mom about him, about his ministry, about, you know, his ministry, his life, his plan, and his plans for his life. That he had given the mother an account of what would later be in his life. So the Lord was now telling him
that the visit, this particular visit, by that time he was in his 50s or 40s or 50s. So he says, this particular visit of mine is to fulfill what I told your mom before you were born, why she carried you in the womb. Are we together? So after that vision, Kenneth Hagin, I think it was the first vision, it was the first of those visions. So Kenneth Hagin now went, where he went, and he went to his mom. So he knocked the door, entered, he sat down. He now narrated the vision he had. And then now told the mom, he says, this is what the Lord told me. Then he said, at that moment, the mother sighed and began to give him the details. And still the details. But one of those details was that the mother said, at that moment when she felt like life was seeping out of her body, because she had not fed, she had not eaten for several days, and the child was in the womb. And then she felt that, oh, I would rather die on my way home than lie here in the house, die and die. Because that was the house of her husband, and the man was not in. The man had gone away. Nobody knew where about. So as she left the house, you know, dragging herself across the street, trying to make it to her parents' house. He said she suddenly began to hear the sound behind her. As though, he said, it was the same sound that a tree gives when a storm blows around the tree. You know that windy sound that the tree will give? You see, that was the sound she had. She said, after a while, she looked back and she saw no tree and there was no wind. So immediately she felt, oh, I am dying. Are we together? She moved closer. She said, he heard the sound again. The third time, she heard the sound again. She looked back. See, by the time she looked back, she now spotted an unusual sight of a cloud. And interestingly, she observed the cloud and saw that the cloud was coming down. She said to herself again, I am really dying. So she had to wait there and say, oh, let me catch some strength. Maybe if I sit down here, I'll be able to get some strength and I continue my journey. Because she was really stressed. He said, but to her amazement, the cloud kept on coming down. He said, before the cloud came down for so long, she saw the figure of a man on the cloud. It was the Lord Jesus. Appeared to her and told her, don't worry, the child in your belly will survive. I will call him and look at it very carefully. Some of you don't know Kenneth Hagin. And that's why I talk about him the way I do. He said, the Lord told her that I will place my call on him. And look at this. He will be among the men that will usher in my second coming through his teaching ministry. That is why Kenneth Hagin today is the teacher like no other teacher. No other teacher. I will take some time to talk about that sometime later in the future. Are we together? But look at this. Why I shared that story was this. The mother kept that away for 40 something years and never shared with, not with the husband, not with the parents, not with the friend, not with the child, until Jesus now came to mention it. So Kenneth Hagin said, what amused him was the silence of his mom. Let me tell you something. Some of your parents, they know some things about you. They might not have the proper interpretation. They know some things about you. They know. They might not have the excellent interpretation of it. They know. I remember a story my mom told me about me. Yeah. And it took me, it was in my 20s. While I was in my 20s, that she told me that. I went together. I was like, wow. And she had to call me after one day, and then my dad was there. Dad was sitting there. She was sitting here. And she began to tell me some things that surrounded my bed. I never knew. I didn't know. I didn't have that account for over 20-something years. I didn't have that account. I just felt God was leading me, and I was out to do the work of the ministry, and this and that, and that, and that, and that. And that. I went together. Now, why am I mentioning that? I'm saying that to say, when the Lord or information comes to you, and you don't know what information to keep, your inability to keep quiet will ruin God's plan. Imagine Mary did not keep quiet about what the angel told her. Are we together? And lauded it. Imagine when they were looking for young boys to kill. Mary was loud. You can't kill my Savior. He can't even die. They will start from him. Are we together?
Are we together? They would have started from the young boy. He declared. So quietness. He says, are we together? Not a brawler. Not a brawler. So we will observe these things. He says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Observe again, observe this is the guideline, Abby. What if he has not given birth? Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? So it is a guideline. Not a novice. He has experience. You don't have experiences until you get involved. The experiences of ministry is found in your involvement in the work of the world. Ministry. Get involved, get involved, get involved, get involved. Tell your neighbor, say, get involved. Tell your neighbor, say, get involved. Observe something. He says, not a what? A novice. When we say not a novice, he's talking about the office of a bishop. Yet he says, not a novice. That means there are responsibilities that prepares you for another responsibility. When you don't get involved with those responsibilities, you are not qualified for the next. Not in a serious local church. Not under a solid structure. Not under a solid structure. He says, he must be of good report of them that are without. Does unbelievers have good report of you? Unbelievers. Business partners that are not born again. They have good reports of you. Good report of you. Someone borrowed you a tool, you swapped it. You swapped the tool. You can't be a Christian leader. And they found out you're now arguing. You're now arguing. You're now arguing. They borrowed you something, you changed it. Are we together? You can't be a Christian leader. Are we together? Are we together? They lent you something to use, you changed it, you swapped it. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? He says, must be of a good report. That means, before we consider you for a Christian leadership position, there is nothing wrong if we talk to people that know you. Are we together? Are we together? So it's not, see, it is not by praying alone that we will know we should choose it. Say, my heart is right. God knows my heart is right. 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 Your heart is right, but your conduct is bad. You are useless. You are not useful. You are not useful yet. You are not useful yet. Are we together? A good report. A good report. A good report. A good report. It's not when you are a Christian leader that you start having good report. Good report is necessary. It says concerning a deacon. A deacon is an assisting hand in the cell. Assisting function in the cell. Active hand in the cell. He says, must be grave. Not double-tongued. Not given to much wine. Not given to filthy words. Look at holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Look at this verse 10. And let this also be first proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon when found blameless. Are we together, church? So all of this are found in the midst of our word interactions. Someone say interactions. So look at this. There are things you will never see, but others will see it for you. So in that interaction is instructed, is compulsory. We have people called of God to watch out for us. That interaction molds me. That interaction builds me. That interaction restores me when I err. That interaction will help me to discern greater depths of the call. I am led through those interactions and I am trained to lead others into their inheritance. Are we together? Just like Israel, your pastor, your leader will lead you into your inheritance. What
do I mean by your inheritance? Men and women, are we together? That you will influence in the Lord. Disciples you will raise. God, through those leaders, will help you to raise the same. Amen. So I must learn to have the proper interactions. The proper interactions. Are we together, church? So I begin to close. So the work of the ministry is an interruption because of God's intervention. And that intervention is not fulfilled when we are poor in our what? Interactions. Let's look at the characteristics of the call. Characteristics of the call. Because when you see the call, it is distinct, I said, unambiguous. Number one, the first characteristic of the call of God upon the life of a man that is clear. And you must have, it is important that you have a trained eye to properly interpret. Like I said, when I started yesterday afternoon, I said, if you are an unbeliever and you see the call and you judge it differently, we will not blame you. But a Christian, no, you must have. You must have. The very characteristic of the call is that there will be changes in the course of the life of the man called of God. Time will not permit me. I would have shared with you personal experiences in my own life. But I'll leave it to another time. Are we together? So, there will be changes in the course of his life. Her life. It will happen that his direction will change naturally. He might thought that he is just making a choice of an institution. He is just making a choice of, you know, a relocation, a place to stay. A natural choice, as it were. But God will, through divine orchestration, work out his plan. Are we together? Sometimes he would have planned to travel, and he would discover, I cannot travel. Sometimes he might have planned not to travel and then we discover, hey, I have to travel. Plan to marry, sometimes we postpone it. Some other times he will not get married again. Are we together? Listen to me. There are people who God's call upon their lives implied they would not marry. I know a number of them, women and men. And it's genuine. Those kind of people, I don't know it. Even though I don't have that call. I don't know it. I see it and I doff my heart. And I value it. See, never criticize another person's commitment in response to the call, even if he does not know much as you do in the world. You will have Jesus to contend with. Don't bring people's commitment into your bedroom to discuss. Don't. Let them be with the Lord. Let them be with the Lord. Consecration. Don't discuss people's consecration and trivialize it. Are we together? So the course of things will change naturally. Locations might change. Go and study in a particular city. After you are done, return back here. And while he's studying, the calling interferes. And he discovers that he can no more travel back to the city again. Are we together? Did you observe that the 3,000 people that God saved on the day of Pentecost, they stayed back? They stayed back, began to receive discipleship. Many of them will not have returned to the nation they came from again. They will move from there into another nation for the work of missions. Your friends will change. Your friends will change. He might lose taste of things that he has pre-planned for himself. Sometimes the age that he has judged that he will get married, she will get married, will change.
Sometimes the call of God will make it look as though we are now begging you to get married. I've seen men like that before. And I've seen women like that before. The call of God upon their lives. Who will now be saying, it's time, it's time, it's time. Other people, they are telling us, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. Come together. Example is why Elisha and Elijah. By history, like I said, Elisha was from a rich family. Older than Elijah by about 15 years. Then Elijah came and cast his mantle upon him. And the man immediately, the course of his life changed. So, there will be difference. There will be a change. Are we together? And now look at this. Look at me, everybody. The same way you observe a change, a revolution in his life. Look at me. You will observe it in his life. There is a grace that compels a change in other people's lives. It's a sign that this man is called of God. So you see the man Jesus. Follow me, right? At the table of a tax collector. At the riverside. Catching fishes. Follow me. Elijah said to Elisha, follow me. You will see in his life the grace that compels what? Obedience. You will see signs of obedience in his life. Paul said, if I do it willingly, are we together? If I do it not willingly, amen. So you will see the grace of God in his life that, number one, mirrors. Number two, compels what? Obedience. It mirrors it in his life. It compels it in the life of what? Others. Look at me, everybody. If we observe that in your life, in your ministry, you don't have the compelling force. You have not responded to the call well. Maybe you have not responded. Because it is in your response that grace fills your life. It is locked in within. It is locked within. Locked like someone has placed a padlock on it. Locked. Because at that point there's still a question mark. Shall we? Shall you go? Will you go? A question mark. Will you go? The moment you come to a point where you have released yourself to it, that grace of obedience fills your life and begins to seep out, overflow. At that point, it will be able to compel obedience in the life of others. Until then, you can't raise laborers like you. You can't raise laborers like you. So what aspect of you is still struggling with the call? That same thing that you are struggling with is the grace to raise others. Oh, money. That same thing that you are struggling with is not just for you. That is the divine enablement to compel obedience in others. Are we together? It is the grace of God. See, I respond. So you look at that. You will see the grace of God in his life, which will compel obedience. You can see it. When you see it, you recognize it. You will observe that the man is not forming his call. Are we together? He will move from what he is doing to what God is asking him to do. Are we together? So by the orchestration of God, things will change. Things will change. Amen. Number two, the call of God, characteristics of the call, is irreversible, irrevocable. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, speaks about an apostleship. Ephesians 4 and 7, an apostleship. Romans 12:4 speaks of grace.
Grace has to do what is given and not withdrawn. So while a man can stray away from his call, the call of God is never taken away from him. While a man can walk in disobedience, Romans 11:29, the call and the gifting of God are without repentance, are put together. So while a man can stray away, while a man can lack the understanding, while a man can be lured astray, while a man might walk in confusion to or at the call of God, the call is never taken away. It's never taken away. It's never taken away. Are we together? You'll observe, for example, that the apostleship of Judas Iscariot did not cease until he died. Because Jesus called him, even while he was still in the post, the call was with him. But he didn't obey it. He went on and on, continued. Until what? Until Lord to come. So the call of God follows a man. I told you yesterday from 1 Corinthians 9. The fact that you disobey at the call does not invalidate the fact that you are called of God. Are we together? Are we together? The fact that you do not respond does not remove the fact that the call of God is with you. Many times, the reason for a perpetual hardness, perpetual struggle, is because the call is still there. Look at me, therefore. Look at me. Because look at this. When I make a statement, you must be patient to hear the other part. Is it clear? I said, sometimes the reason why a man will live a hard life is because he has not obeyed the call, right? So look at me. Why is the hardness following him? Struggle following him. That struggle that is following him is God's mercy. It's the mercy of God to show him that the call is still there. The call is still there. It is not a punishment. It is not God judging him. So at any point in time, he can be sensitive and what? Repent. Because the call is still what? It's still there. Do you get it? Because look at this. If he continues like that, and he exits this world, the judgment in eternity will be worse than those that he was sent to. His judgment in eternity will be worse than those he has sent to. Unless you are thinking anyhow. While there is nothing worse than hell, there are things that can be worse than hell in the world to come. Very importantly is that in the parables of Jesus, the cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth was used to describe a state of not having reward. Regret. There are many Christians that will live eternity in regret. So to prevent you from such a regretful eventuality, are we together? Look at me. A glimpse, a tiny fraction of what? Of the regret. Follows him. So that he can be smart. Because if you ignore it and keep going till you leave this world, what was following you is just like 1%, 0.1% of regret in eternity. The call is like that. Are we together? The same with Samson. You can't read about him now. It is never withdrawn. It is who you are. You can only grow into it. Are we together? You can be more effective in it. But it can never be withdrawn. You can't change the call. You cannot change the call into something else. Are we together? You can change people's titles also. But you can't remove the call from their lives.
time won't be cut from their life. Remember a long time ago, when certain men will come to me and say, oh, this and this and this, because of your teaching, this and this and this, sorry, we'll not have you here again. No problem. The man picked his bag, journeyed away. Standing here now, are we together? Are we together? Number three, the call, are we together? Goes with the man. I said number one, it changes his course. Number two, it is irrevocable. Number three, does what? It goes with the man. It stays with him. Where the man goes, the call goes. As long as the man stays, the call stays. Are we together? It won't be given to someone else. It stays with the man. Example is in Judges chapter 16 concerning Samson. If you read from verse 25, you read Judges chapter 14 from verse 19, Judges chapter 15 from verse 15 to 21. The man, even at the tail end of his life, after he had been called and he had been called off, right there, he still told God. He says, God, he said, give me one more time, one more chance. Let me deal with these people. The call was still there. Even in his disobedience, the call was still there. Are we together? The call was still there. Even in disobedience, the call was still there. 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 Even in disobedience. Because the call stays with the man. God told the man Moses, he says to speak with the rock. The man threw the rod and hit the rock. God said, speak to the rock. He hit on the rock. Did water come out? Water came out. In his disobedience, the call is still there. Are we together? Because the call of God stays with the man. There are a lot of people who have gone into doing businesses today, and they have taken the grace of God upon their lives, and they are using it to make money. Someday you see the signs there. Are we together? But they are living in disobedience. And that's an eternity of regrets. After Delilah in Judges 16, verse 26, you still observe, after he had been caught, at that time his eyes has been what? Has been plucked out. Hey! Man of God, what is your way? Right there, he was now tied down like a dog. By the time you read the text, I'm in a hurry. I would have read the text to you because I want to stick with time. Are we together? By the time you get back and read Judges 16, the Bible says right there, where they put him was like a basement. They kept him in the basement. In the basement. The man that by Judges chapter 14, 15, the Bible said, the man took the jawbone of an axe and he killed over 6,000 men. With the jawbone of an axe. You know, those are the things that you try. If they burn you, will carry jawbone of an axe and attempt an army. They will use your jawbone to drink wine. There are things you don't dare. It's the call upon your life that is speaking. The call is speaking. Man called of God. You can't copy him. It's the call that is speaking. Are we together? When he's given the call and he's given to the call. You begin to see depths of the grace of God upon his life. Right there in Judges chapter 16. The Bible said, he opened his heart, he cried out unto God. He says, just one more time. And what were they doing? They were on the top. Are we together? Those guys, they kept him in the basement. And they were on the first or the second floor of the facility above. What were they doing? They were drinking and whining and gyrating. As far as they were concerned, the man had been kept in bondage. They did not know that his hair has what? Has grown. See, be careful. The man called of God, you might not know when his hair has grown. Are we together? Are we together? Don't only be conscious of the disobedience. That's why you should not talk about disobedience. It's not your own. I see some foolish, dysfunctional idiots. Because they felt that they are called to the ministry. Then they take on a great man of God and they begin to discuss a seeming fault. Someone was telling me some time ago, hey, did you know that a particular man of God like that he divorced? I said, you. Do you know whether you you will get married.
Kilo share. Kilo share.
He was not a good example to his flock. You are you a good example to your flock? The man is talking about is not his mate. The man had been in the ministry for going to 50 years now. More than 50, about 60 years. Going to 60 years rather. In the ministry. A while ago, someone had walked up to the man and said, "Sir, we observed that you hardly hold crusades." He said, "Oh, He says, our issue is not crusades. Our issue is where we will hold the crusade." So he gave the statistics. The last pastor's conference they called. Are we together? In the first 3 days, he said they had to close. They declared the pastor's conference. They gave the deadline of registration. Then they discovered that in less than a week, what was supposed to be a month registration window was closed in less than a week. So preachers came and said, we couldn't register again. What happened? He said in the first 3 days, he said they had 1 million and about 300,000 pastors registered. In the first 3 days of opening the registration window. So he now told those guys, he says our issue, 1 million and 300,000 plus registered in just first 3 days. So he said we have to close it. He now told those men that, he says our issue is not crusades. Our issue is that we don't have any venue on the earth that will contain people when we gather them. That's the one that this Okunu is saying that, he's divorced. Or dead. A certain man was took on him, wanting to drag him. I told someone, I said, "Do you know the man you are dragging?" Because what you criticize, you can never attract. Are we together? See, the life of a minister is in the circle he is to. You can't attract. I told him, I said, "Do you know who you are criticizing?" He was on the WhatsApp. He posted the status. So I checked. I now checked him out. I said, "There's no need for this." Then he began to show me scriptures. There they are in me. In me. You are quoting Bible for me. I mean, the Bible should quote me. Are we together? I said, "Are you showing me scriptures?" I said, "We did this 12 years ago. All the things you are doing now, we did it what? 12 years ago. Go check Facebook. The man standing before you was a notable voice on Facebook. Took on major men of God you can see in Nigeria. Took on them. Are we together? Clearly. Those who have the record, have the record. There was a year like that, and I determined that year I was going to remove all the posts. And I tried. Some weeks ago, I was in conversation with a friend. He dug a post. I said, I thought I had removed all of them. All of this contention, being a word man, being hard, being this. See, all of this thing on Titan that everybody's talking about. In 2014, 2015, we took on Titan for 4 days. We were on Titan on Facebook. We did not sleep. We did not take food, nor eat water. We were on Titan on Facebook. Well, God, major preachers across the country, they came, they collected their own. Nobody could find a single text to support it. I started the conversation. Yes. By the time I got on it, then a couple of my friends came on. Come and see the longer the comment section. For 4 days, we were typing. That was just one of about 6-7. We took on communion. Took on communion bread. Say you just want to eat. You want to chop bread in the worship of a certain deity. Go and eat bread. You could substantiate it. Talk about the anointing. Talk about tithe. Talk about this. Talk about that. Took on different things. I think 10 years ago, that's what we're doing. But we discovered that we're loud online without a single disciple. What a waste of. Because the proof that you understand the Bible is that you are raising men. It's a clear church. So when I see some folks, this and that and that, the work is not online. The work is what? Offline. It is when we come to your church that we will see what you know. Is it clear? Is it clear? Not act like an authority online and then your church. You have 2.5 disciples. 2.5. 2.5. It's not even half, it's 1/4. 2 1/4. And then the 2, one is your younger brother. The other one is your fiancé. Who are you alone? And you're allowed on Facebook. I can go to the streets and preach the gospel. And least quality men. When you get involved in proper ministry, the noise will reduce. The next noise that will come will be the fruit of the men you are raising. And that one cannot be quenched. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Right there. I took on those souls. Did all of that. No. I told you, do you see the man that you are dragging? Do you see the man you are talking about? The man has the largest church in the world currently. He's in Lagos there. The largest church in the world. At least, honor the work, honor the labor. Try and gather 100 people in a church and pastor them for 1 year. Heal their sick, deliver their oppressed, meet their material needs, resolve their supernatural needs. Then increase it, make it 200. Turn the 200 into 1,000. Maybe we'll listen to you. The man called the pastor's conference. 26,000 pastors showed up within 24 hours. That's labor. That's labor. As vital as the message is, are we together? What is in the message? It is fruit. So if you have anything against what is being done, say, oh, this is not the proper, this is not the proper. Do you know how we listen to you? You produce what it has in the proper way. Then we will come and sit under you. They don't have the doctrine. 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 There's no problem. Nobody is arguing with you. It is true they don't have the doctrine. But look at this. You raise 23,000 pastors with the doctrine. Because you have good camera and data, you lost your sense. Because you look at that man that you're dragging. Look at that man. I have friends who go on missionary walks. Senegal, Tunisia, Morocco. Some of them are still preparing to go in the next month. Islamic nations. Countries where everything is Islam. Every damn thing. They even operate by Sharia. One of the times they got back, they told me, they said, he was expressing, you know, he expressed this to me. He says, this particular one was different. He said, because right here on the street, people were already licensed to kill any Christian on the street. I mean, you didn't have to take them to the authorities. He says, once you hear somebody mention Jesus, right there you can slay him. And that is a national rule. And they went there and they preached. So he says, as they were preaching, that in their mind they did not know, because we don't know whether you will hear and pay attention and draw us close to a corner, or you are the one that will loud it. And they kept preaching. They kept preaching. The man said, in the midst of it, a very unbelievable reality, they still found the churches of this man in those places. Hey! It shows you, in the midst of that darkness, he had underground churches. He had disciples there. Can you have disciples in the thickest of dark places? When you do, you can start talking. We will listen to you. But until then, please keep quiet and bury your head in the work. We'll give you 10 years. How would you get a church? So right there, they took the man, put him in the basement. Then went Samson to gather Saul and Allah. went unto him, but saw the gatherer, saying, Samson is come, and they compassed him, laid in wait for him all night in the city, the gate of the city. And they were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson late tonight and arose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts. That is not the text I'm looking for. In chapter 16, verse 25, and it came to pass that when their hearts were merry, yes, because they had caught Samson, their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that they may make us a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Mistake. And Samson said unto him, unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars upon where the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and they were upon the roof about how many people? 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called the Lord. This was the point of repentance. Because the call followed him everywhere. He called the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of these Philistines for my two eyes. Do you know why God will answer? Because again, it was not about Samson. It was about his people that needs to be delivered. The long suffering of God will make him heed to the anointing. Are we together, church? But it is not a path to experiment. Lest you think, oh, anytime I'm ready, I can call on God. Then you might just be calling on God with your two eyes plugged out. Are we together? Are we together? So look at that. It says, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was born, of the one with his right hand, and the other with his what? Left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were with him. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Are we together? Are we together? Samson. So you observe that the call of God follows the man. David too, he kills Goliath with his sling. Are we together? Are we together? The number four characteristic of the call of God is that the call of God on a man can be function rather and strengthen another man. The call of God upon the man, upon the life of a man, the call of God upon his life can be to what? To strengthen, to function with, and to strengthen another man. So while all or many may be called, are we correct? All are not called in the same capacity. Is another characteristic of a call. While many or all can be called, they are not all called in the same capacity. Some are called to follow others. I love the words of the man Bishop David Abioye. He says, I would rather be number first. Are we together? I would rather be number second in God's plan than be number first in my own plan. I would rather, according to God's plan, take an assisting position than, according to my own plan, take a leading position. The man has lived it. He's very clear now. Such a legend. Right there we see David. Then we see the man that David, that was called to follow David. Those men knew their place. You must know your place. So another characteristic of the call is that a man can be called to follow the anointed. And the grace of God upon your life
functions maximally as you follow or while you follow. Number five, another characteristic of the call is that there are supernatural signs of a man called of God which are not replicated by others. A man that has given himself to the call, we have supernatural signs. Number six, another characteristic of the call of God is that the man called of God can discern the call on you, and it calls you to walk with him. And that also is a call. Are we together? Just like Moses called Miriam and Aaron, David and his men call, we observe that God will call the man who called others. Are we together, church? Misconceptions about the call, as I close. Misconceptions about the call. The very first thing I observe about misconception, or as a misconception about the call, is that the man called of God thinks he has to go to a Bible school. To go to a Bible school is not bad, but that does not equal the call. Or a man that has gone to a Bible school thinks that that is the call. No. Attending the Bible school does not equal the call. Are we together? I said another misconception about the call of God is that it ostracizes you from the world. No. The call of God does not separate you from the world. Another misconception is to think that the call of God is a talent hunt. You see some people today, they are involved in talent hunt. Gather young people, counseling and talking to them. They call that ministry. No. Motivation. No. The call of God on your life is not an anti-corruption campaign. The call of God is not anti-AIDS campaign. Anti-child abuse campaign. Anti-rape campaign. Anti-this campaign. That is not tantamount towards the call of God. And it's not bad. They are humanitarian services. The call of God is not to raise an orphanage. The call of God is not to raise a motherless child home. The call of God is not to raise a home of a special child, a special child home, special child school. Whoa! That must not be misconstrued as the call of God. Again, the call of God is not tantamount to being intelligent. Ability to teach. Are we together? Ability to teach, to lead people in the corporate world, to lead organizations, must not be misconstrued with the call of God. In fact, the call of God must not be misconstrued as starting a church or starting a ministry. The fact that you have been called of God does not mean that you will start a ministry. It does not mean that you should start your own church. Are we together? Starting a denomination, or what we call denomination today, or a walk, it takes a special grace. Some people are called to strengthen others' work, and that is God's call on your life. And by doing all to strengthen that work, you have fulfilled God's plan for your life. Being an ESCO in a campus fellowship, again, is not tantamount to a call. Being elected into a position in the church, Baba door, Mama door, are we together? Elder, thickness, amen, is not tantamount to the call. The man called of God cannot be kept down. The call will speak for itself. Are we together, church? Leave for me and close. So the rudiments of the call of God, what I just showed you, it is a call to follow. To follow Jesus. In that followership is training. Through that training you are effective. In that effectiveness, your essence is fulfilled. The call of God is an interruption. That interruption is because God wants to intervene into the affairs of men. You read through the book of Judges. It was a book of God's intervention. You see men like Joshua. You see men like Caleb. You see men like Othniel. You see a woman like Deborah. You see Jephthah. You see Gideon. Are we together? The prophets. Interruption. Isaiah was interrupted. Interrupted. David was interrupted. That interruption. Jeremiah interrupted. Ezekiel interrupted. Observe the interruption in the life of Jonah. He was to intervene in Nineveh. Are we together, church? Intervention with Agai, Obadiah. It was an intervention. Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Haggai, Zechariah, Zephaniah was an intervention. Ezekiel, intervention. Daniel was an intervention. Interruption into those lives. It's because of an intervention of God. So in 2024, 2025, 2026, God will interrupt. And you and I are the vessels of that interruption. He will send you and I, and his signs will follow your ministry, and his voice will be your voice, and his grace will be upon your head, and his strength will be on your shoulder, and his vision will be upon your eyes, and his oil will be on your lips, and his strength will be upon your legs, and his vision will be upon your eyes, and it will lead you, and it will keep you, and it will guide you, and it will strengthen you. It will cause your ministry. Just like Paul says, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may increase, may be glorified as it is with you. It will cause this word through you to be received of men. It will cause your voice to be loud. It will cause it to be strengthened. In the areas where you have found weakness, it will cause you to discover strength. It will mount up with wings and eagles. It will run, you will not be weary. It will walk, you will not be tired. It will cause you to be strengthened. It will cause your voice to be loud. This is the consistent work of God. And he has found you and I. Say, Lord, I'm open to your interruptions. Let me tell you this one as I. In that interruption, it will lead to many more interruptions. Days of interruptions. As we close this conference gradually, even after this meeting, you will find yourself going into greater depths of interruptions. If you have ever said yes, I tell you, hear me clearly, there are many more yes to say. If you ever gone at all, if you've ever gone, there are many goings yet ahead of you. God called on Joshua. He told him while he was smitten, old, stricken, well stricken in age rather. The angel of the Lord came to him in Joshua chapter 24 and chapter 25. He said to him, he says, now Joshua, he said, you are of age, you are stricken of age, but there be yet many more lands to take. Many more yes to say. Many more yes to say. Many more places to go. Many more laborers to raise. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I am yours. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Of my heart, that I discover the function and the grace that you have assigned for me since the foundations of the world. That I will not waste away. I will not walk in subtle rebellion. I understand, O Lord, that there are many more yes to come out from my yes. There are many more yes to come forth from my yes. Lord, I open up my heart this morning. You will stir me up in the deep corners of my heart. I will find obedience. Interruptions. I am healed. I am dedicated to you, taking my cross and now. And we follow you wherever you say, wherever you lead. Lord, I'm standing in obedience, and I will follow you forever. I'm gonna be your host.
Oh, I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will serve you, Lord. Yeah.
We can only thank you as we devote ourselves to your work. Prune us for the Lord. Teach us for the Lord. Enlighten us, Lord. And increase us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.